I don't have to, as you can see, I'm on there. It's under a Spanish name, Asambleas, Valle Aconcagua. And so that's, yeah, so if you were wondering, Roy, that's who I am there. I'm not an intruder or anything like that, just to let you know. Lovely to see you, and may the Lord bless you, my dear brothers and sisters. Thank you for the invitation to be here with you today, and wonderful to be able to share the Word of God. A couple of things, you know, you've been praying. I really appreciate the prayers with regard to family and with regard to ministry. First of all, family. The Lord has been very gracious to us. I have to say, my oldest son Andrew is married, and he's a Vancouver police officer. And so if he, and his sector is here in this area. He's in District 4, it's called. And so if you ever need a police officer, and he's on duty, in fact, I think he's on duty right now. He's in this area. I've tried to get him to come over to Blenheim to visit when we're there on Wednesdays, and you know, it'd be nice to for the folks there to see a police officer. And you mentioned Blenheim Lodge, Eileen Bone. What a wonderful sister in Christ. And I'll tell you, I see her on a weekly basis, and it's really just a blessing to see her. And you know, she's elderly, but whenever I, you know, she's got the nicest demeanor. And I think Harold, you were there probably last Friday. I was invited, but I was unavailable to go to her 100th, or Thursday, I'm not sure when it was, her 100th birthday. But what a wonderful sister in Christ. So you pray for my family. I don't know when the last time I was here. I have three children, for some of you that know, and my oldest son, I've just mentioned him, and he has a lovely wife, and we're grateful to God for them because they are honoring and following the Lord. My second son, all my children, thankfully, are following the Lord.
Amen.
I almost am broken down in tears because of that, that they're following the Lord. My second son, he went through a rough summer. He had a girlfriend for about 2 years, and unfortunately, the relationship broke off, and she did not behave very well. Let's just put it to that. Put it there, and he was mistreated very badly. But I said to him, you know, the Lord takes us through experiences like that so that we can, our character is formed, and that we continue to be consistent. I said, don't leave the goodness of God, and don't Amen. Leave the presence of the Lord. And thankfully he has not. And so that was tough. And for him, and he's still at home with us. It's nice to have a child at home, because our daughter, she moved, she just moved out. Now she's getting married in July, but they've got their own place, and but they found a good place, so she decided to move a little bit earlier than planned. I think she kind of wanted to be a little bit on her own and independent for a period of time before she gets married. And she runs a young women's Bible study. And so she has a lot of young women that are coming. And my son Tyler is also involved in a young men's Bible study. And so, and also a leader of a youth group. So we're really, really grateful. And I hope it comes across in the sense of gratitude towards the Lord, that we honor the Lord. Not in any way. I say to people, in spite of me, my children have gone well, on well. And so it's really the grace and the goodness of God. And so I value that you continue to pray for us and pray for their growth. Life is still before them, and there's lots of life. And so we realize that that there is a lot of life still to live, but we are grateful for where we are at right now. Some highlights from the last little last number of months. I think that I was able to go to this country of Colombia, do some ministry there. We're working with some believers that are doing some excellent work in some of the poorer communities of Bogota. And excuse me, and then we took them to a bunch of children to a Bible camp and to minister to them. And it was a wonderful, wonderful time. I always take a team of young people with me, and so that they are encouraged and also see the Lord's blessing in other places. And so it's a wonderful ministry. And then with my family, we actually went back to the country of my wife's birth, which is Albania. And we took a trip there and visited my wife's family. And we attended a wedding there, a good Albanian style wedding. And that was very exciting. Elizabeth and I, we were able to stay in the apartments that the assembly owns there. They have a three-story building. The meeting room, or you're upstairs, is on the bottom floor. The second floor is where they have apartments and also a preschool. And then the third floor, a family lives up there. And so Elizabeth and I were able to stay there while our children stayed in another spot. But we were able to stay with the this nice little apartments for a very good price, which was really great. And we were able to also go there on a Sunday and enjoy the fellowship of the assembly with their breaking of bread and also the meetings that were there on the Sunday. So really, really enjoyed that. And very, very grateful. The third thing that happened in the summertime was I dusted off my director's badge for Anvil Island, and I directed a camp. It's Camp Number 9. I'd never done that camp. I think that it's always good to be transparent, and it was a camp that had some trouble. The last few years, they didn't have some very good leadership, and so they requested that some of us would go in, and I took on the director's job, and we worked hard. It was not an easy camp, I'll be honest with you. A lot of things that we really need to pray for. We need to pray for that camp, and we need to pray for Anvil Island, and pray for that we would have good, solid young people that would be part of the camp staff. We were able to rectify some of the things, still more work to do with regard to how they present the gospel and the integrity of the gospel, as well as the true understanding of what it is to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is really important. Folks, I just can't stress enough how much we need the Lord in these times. And I would really value your prayers. I took 1 year as the director. I had a wonderful young man as the assistant director, and he's going to take it on for this next year. As the director of the camp, I'm going to go up and go work on the work crew. That's what I'm going to do. And go and help, and just to encourage him and help him. he's looking for support, and that's what we're going to give him. But we really need to pray. Need to pray because there's a lot of wonderful young people, but they are so biblically illiterate. And that's not a slam on them. They're just biblically not understanding. You know how there is illiteracy in the world? There's also spiritual illiteracy. I hope you understand my point. Spiritual illiteracy is when you don't understand what the Bible teaches, and how can you get that? And so, working with the young people, it was very good. We had some very good experiences, wonderful testimonies, and teaching from the Word of God. We had some challenges, but God was faithful.
Amen.
Well, those are some of the highlights since I think the last time I was here. So I hope you don't mind me being personal in those things, just because I think it's important that you know that all of us have different experiences of life. I'm sure we could fill up our time with the different things that you are going through as well, my dear brothers and sisters. But may the Lord bless you. Now, I'll be honest with you. I did not know what to speak here today. I really didn't, because there's so much to speak on. The Word of God is inexhaustible. I'm going through a series on the 10 questions that the Lord Jesus asked. I've only gone through two of them. Who do you say that I am? Okay, we're not going to speak on that tonight. The second question was, why are you so afraid? Each one has a scene in the life of the Lord Jesus, and so I'd love to do that. But what I want to do is something tonight, and mainly it's because I've been working with. Sometimes I speak over at Park Crest Chapel, and they have some Mandarin speaking people that come in. And so I've been doing something when I speak there with my PowerPoint, and I put Chinese, simplified Chinese into my PowerPoint. So that's what I'm going to use. I have one sermon on 1 Thessalonians and one sermon on the introduction to the book of Ezra. So today we're going to do the book of Ezra, the introduction. I hope you don't mind that. But we're going to look at some points there, and we've got and so what I want though is I want some of you, one of you, at least one or two of you, come to me and say, this was good, or be honest with me and say, this was bad. Okay, I don't mind you telling me if it was good or bad. But been using this, and I'm going to share it with you. And let's see. Let's see. There we go. Okay, I'm going to share. And there we go. Okay, good. So, introduction to the book of Ezra. And so let's go to the book of Ezra in the scriptures. And what we'll do is, though, what we'll read is Ezra chapter 1. We're going to read that chapter, and but then we're going to just go through some of the introduction here. But let's read. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem, and let each survivor in whatever place he sojourns be assisted by the men of his place with silver and gold, with goods and with beasts, and besides freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the heads of the fathers, houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit God had stirred to go up to rebuild the house of the Lord, that is in Jerusalem. And all who were about them aided them with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, with costly wares, besides all that was freely offered. Cyrus, the king, also brought out the vessels of the house of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and placed in the house of his gods. Cyrus, king of Persia, brought these out in the charge of Mithridath, the treasurer, who counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this was the number of them: 30 basins of gold, 1,000 basins of silver, 29 censers, 30 bowls of gold, 410 bowls of silver, 1,000 other vessels. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. And all these did Sheshbazzar bring up when the exiles were brought up from Babylonia to Jerusalem. May God bless his word. Now, you might think, okay, why are we going to do this? Well, I'll be honest with you. Part of it is that of a sermon I did, but I'm going through a Bible study with a number of young people called right now Digging Deeper. That's what we titled it. It's every second Thursday night we go through a Bible study, and some young people that have wanted, and I offered it to them, and they've said yes, let's go through this. So we're going through this Digging Deeper, but also using this in another context as well. And I've been encouraged and blessed by what Ezra represents, and we're going to take a look at some of the details with regard to who he was and what he represented. Now, in the scriptures, there's always a key verse with regard to a book. Sometimes you can go find a key verse in a passage, in a chapter. You can do it in a book of the Bible. But the book is, the key verse is this, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Let's take a look at that verse, and you can see it on the screen there. For Ezra, now I'm using the English Standard Version. I don't know what version you're using, but I'm using the ESV. And the English Standard Version says this, for Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. I read this verse many years ago. I've enjoyed this verse many times. I don't know about you. Maybe you have read it before. I'm sure you have, for some of you that have been students of the Word. But it is a wonderful verse because it tells us about the character of this individual. Is character important? Character is important. Now, do we have good character? It's a good question. Do I have good character? Do you have good character? Now I say this because I look at Ezra, and it says he devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Let's think about what that means. He devoted himself to the study. Now, I know that not everyone here is a scholar, myself included. I know that not everyone is maybe a university level type theologian, That's not what it's talking about here. Was this gentleman, would he be considered that? Maybe, yeah. He would have been considered maybe more of an academic. He would have been considered someone that would have been respected within the understanding of the scriptures. We're going to find out a little bit about him. But he devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, of what he had at his disposal, what he had for his the time that he was studying the word of God. And so before the people, he wanted to make sure they understood that that he was invested in understanding what God wanted to speak to them. In English, we have a lot of different sayings, just like in Mandarin Chinese, right? You have lots of sayings. In Spanish, I speak Spanish, we have lots of sayings. I have lots of friends, and I don't know all the sayings in Spanish. I don't. I know Spanish well. I speak it well. But I don't know all the sayings, because that wasn't part of my life. But I know in Mandarin Chinese, or if you speak Cantonese, you have different things. Like, for example, in English, we have a saying like when the rubber meets the road. You know, what does that mean? You know, right. I see a sister there, and you're going to me, and you're looking at me, and you're saying, what do you mean by that? The rubber meets the road. Well, it's about a tire, a rubber tire or a bike, and it meets the road. It's where there's a point of contact, right? You understand that? Well, I'm sure in Mandarin Chinese or in other languages, we have different ways that we express that, right? I remember in the congregation, one of the congregations that I speak with, a lot of Chinese folk, and I said, I'll say until all the cows come home, you know. What does that mean, right? That's in English, right? We understand it's different things that we say. Well, what it is that Ezra, he had an understanding of the people, of the nuances of the life that the people had lived. And he kept himself in tune with that. And so he devoted himself to understanding all the things that were pertinent or important to the observance of the law of the Lord. In other words, when we learn language or when we learn things, it's good to understand exactly what some of those sayings mean, what it really is about. Well, we can do that, and this is the wonderful part of the scriptures, my dear brothers and sisters, is that we can do that with the scriptures. We can find out what the nuances, what the really understanding of what the Word of God teaches. And so what it is that we see he devoted himself to the study. Am I devoting myself to the study and understanding of the Word of God, of what he says? For example, I've been, I was telling you about these 10 questions. This last week, I've been working with the question, when Jesus was in the boat in Mark chapter 4, and he gets and he says, why are you so afraid? Have you no faith? He asks them a very clear question. Now, Jesus had been asleep, and the boat is tossing and turning, and all of a sudden they wake him up. They say, "Don't you care? Aren't you worried?" And he says, "Having no faith." Now, he'd been teaching about faith before. It says, even in the beginning of that verse 35 of Mark chapter 4, it says very clearly, it says, the same day Jesus had been teaching them before about true faith. He talked about the mustard seed. He talked about the parable of the sower. There were so many things that Jesus taught them. And all of a sudden, he's teaching them, and the disciples weren't getting it. He's saying, "Work a little harder. Look, everybody, sometimes to understand, we need to dig into the Word of God and devote ourselves to study, to extract from the Word of God. You ever take a lemon? You know, and we all have different, like, utensils, right? We have one of those things, right? We get juice out of the lemon. What do? You really, really squeeze it, right? To get the juice out. I have a wooden thing also, most, you know, and you can get right into that. There's different ways to extract, but you want to get everything out of it, you know? And in cooking, we do that with garlic and with all those things. Well, you know, this is what Ezra was doing. He devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord. Now, what was the reason for? He says, to teach its decrees and laws in Israel. Why? Because they had been in exile for many years, and now they were back, but they needed a re-understanding, or more understanding, I should say. They needed teaching upon what they had been missing for so many years. Look, I mentioned some of the young people, wonderful young people I met, but I found, I sat in a cabin. They invited me into a cabin of young boys. You know, and two of the young boys were you know, some of you that are old from the assemblies, brethren assemblies, and grandsons of individuals who have been a part of Anvil and a part of the assemblies for years. And these two young boys were in that cabin. And I'll tell you, the level of not understanding the Word of God was astounding. And I sat there, and one of the cabin leaders, he said something that just alarmed me, the way that he expressed what he thought his faith in God was. He was almost, and you might, he was almost to the point of being a universalist. There's many different ways to come to Jesus or come to God. And I had to correct that and say, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way. And yet I was astounded. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, please pray. Pray with me that we would be able to teach and minister and devote ourselves to the study of the Word of God. Thank you, Harold. I'll speak up a little bit more. Sorry, brother. Let's move on. Now, Ezra is the 15th book of the Old Testament. It comes after 2 Chronicles, and it's closely tied to Nehemiah in the Hebrew Bible, which is the Torah. They were originally one book. Thematically, it continues the story of God's people after the Babylonian exile. Now, I don't know how about my simplified Chinese is there. If it's okay, give me a thumbs up. If it's not okay, give me a thumbs down. Okay, I'm not offended. Okay, so I hope that for the folks at home and for you that are here, and also it makes it a little bit easier for you, dear Phoebe, and our sister that's doing the it's Phoebe, right?
Yeah.
That's translating. So Phoebe, can you give me a thumbs up as well? Okay, sister. God bless you. Anyway, so as we look at the book of Ezra, we see this, and we see where it's placed and how important it is. It's about being back after being in exile. The people of Israel had been in exile in Babylon. They had been influenced by the world, so to speak, and they were back in Israel, and now they were beginning to flourish as a people. Now, I've got to hand it to them. They remained faithful to the Lord, even while in exile, and they came back with a desire to grow in God. And I challenge myself, folks, and I challenge you, are we desirous of really getting encouraged and excited about the Word of God and about following Him with a devotion? Now, Ezra, he studied and he devoted himself to the Word. Now, the historical background is that this book was written during the post-exilic period around the 5th century BC. It covers between 538 and 458 BC, before Christ. The book records two major returns of the exiles. First of all, under Zerubbabel in chapters 1 to 6, and that's in the book of Ezra. So I encourage you to read the book of Ezra. Okay. It was focused on rebuilding the temple. Now, why would we do that? You realize in my slides I'm going to take some time aside. Okay, why would that be done? You know, rebuilding the temple. Well, the temple was a place of worship. It was a place that people met. During COVID, we had the wonderful advent of Zoom, which we still enjoy. But I'll tell you, what did we miss? We missed being in person. You know, looking at each other, appreciating one another. Zoom, you know, and the Lord in His grace gave us Zoom, that we could use it, and we still use it today. Praise the Lord. But folks, let's be honest with you. You know, I love looking at my dear sisters in the eye here, my dear brothers. You know, I can see your concentration. Can see, you know, I was in a meeting last night with Ann Beliland. We do all our board meetings on Zoom. I'm not a big fan of it, but we do it. And I'll tell you, it's easy to turn off the camera, you know, and go get a cup of tea. It's easy to go and do something, right? People loved it on Sunday mornings. They'd go and get a cup of coffee and sit on their couches and watch and watch the meeting if you weren't involved. Here we're engaged. What do we see here? They were focused on rebuilding the temple. I'm making a bit of a leap here of application, but they were focused on rebuilding the temple. They were present rebuilding the temple. There's lots of great stories about how they were rebuilding the temple. Nehemiah tells us all about it. They were engaged. They were involved. You folks that are online, I'm not. Don't worry, my dear brothers and sisters. I'm not rebuking you. I'm just encouraging you. It's a wonderful thing when you can see people in the flesh, and you can be involved hands on. That's what happened in the temple. Then at chapter 7 to 10, it focused on spiritual renewal. So that was the physical Then in 7 to 10, it talks about the spiritual, and that's where we get our key verse from. You see, when we're focused on the spiritual and obedience to God's law, that's where really the submission to what the Lord desires from us. Spiritual renewal and obedience. For some people, they might say, well, that takes away my rights, takes away my independence, takes away who I am. Not really. It actually enhances who you are. Spiritual renewal and obedience to God's law. We have, when God gives us his instructions, it's for our benefit, it's for our blessing, it's for our growth, it's for our maturity. When you meet people that truly understand the word of God, and they are mature in the word of God, there is something about them that you say, I want to learn more. You want to extract from them. You want to learn. Now, God gives that freely to us through his word. And other brothers and sisters bring it to you. I have wonderful friends and family. I've bragged on them before. I've three sisters. I love my sisters. I have a great relationship with my sisters, I have to say. And I'm very, very grateful for them. But I'll tell you, you know, they encourage my life. They bless my life. They challenge me. They encourage me. You know, those are wonderful things when we have different individuals that are part of our spiritual life. You know, each and every one of us have a blessing when we have individuals that will take an interest in our spiritual growth on a daily basis. And it doesn't matter what age you are. I hope that we are always growing, always wanting the Lord to build into our lives. Number three, the author. This is very simple, but traditionally it was attributed to Ezra, the priest and scribe, skilled in the law of Moses. So he had a very particular designation as an individual. Am I a priest or a scribe? I'm a I am what's called a priest. I'm included in the priesthood of all believers. I'm a as the New Testament describes, but he was a priest in the Old Testament sense of the word. He was a scribe. What was a scribe? A scribe was an individual who wrote and copied the word of God. Now, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe, if I understand, is often the scribes worked in tandem with other scribes. As they wrote the word of God, they would write it with a meticulous understanding of the word. They would have maybe two other scribes on either side, and as they wrote, they would follow exactly what the scribe was writing and to make sure that he was writing correctly. That's one of the reasons why we can trust the word of God, because of the meticulous rules that they had with these scribes. He was a scribe and he was skilled in the law of Moses. Ezra chapter 7, we've already read verse 10, but what does verse 6 say? It says, this Ezra went up. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, the God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all that he asked, for the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. What a wonderful statement that is. The hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. Have you ever met anybody like that? the hand of the Lord is on them. The hand of the Lord is on them. I think I've met a few people like that. I believe I have. And you can see just in their demeanor, in the things they say, in the way they express the things of the Lord, you just know that the hand of the Lord is on them. And you know what? Some of them were very public individuals, but some of them were not. There was a man in Chile. He passed away a few years ago, and his name was Juan Almada. And he was a dear brother in Christ. You know, he wasn't a public speaker. He wasn't a big, he would maybe pray in the breaking of bread, but that was about it. You didn't hear him much, maybe once in a while in a Bible study. But I think he's described here. He passed away with his Bible in his lap on a Sunday morning, listening to the radio. It was the program my father had. That's how he died. Not because it was my father's radio program, but let's look at that verse again. He was an individual. And it says there, the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. This man came an hour early to the assembly, to the chapel, and he would open it up and he'd close it up. He was a faithful brother, and the hand of the Lord, it was on that brother. One time I spoke as a young man, and I'll never forget, he came up to me and he says, and he gave me the most wonderful encouragement as a young man after speaking a message. Those are the kinds of people that God puts his hand upon, those individuals. Ezra, he was a little more visible, but sometimes they're the invisible people that you don't know that God has his hand on their lives. Strive to be like Ezra, that the hand of the Lord is on you. That's what we need to strive for. Whether you're visible or considered invisible, doesn't matter. Do it for the Lord. Be what God wants you to be. Now, some of the main themes of Ezra. God's faithfulness. He fulfills his promise by restoring his people. What do we know? Well, we know that it was prophesied years before by the prophet Jeremiah that they would be 70 years in exile. And that's exactly what happened. That there would be a remnant that would return. Not everyone returned. Did Daniel return? No. We don't know when Daniel passed away. We don't have that record. But we know that he was an older man, but he remained. There were many people that remained, but there was a remnant of people that returned to Israel to reestablish, to rebuild the temple. They had the energy, they had the passion, but they also needed the word of God. And that's what Ezra did. He came with them and he said, I'm going to teach you, because I've devoted myself to the word and the study of the goodness and the grace and the faithfulness of God and his laws, his decrees. And so God fulfilled his promise. There was restoration and renewal, rebuilding the temple and renewing hearts. The importance of God's word. We see that Ezra studied, he practiced and taught the law. Now also he challenged them with regard to holiness. If you read, there's a whole chapter and of what took place. Ezra chapter 10. The people confess their sins. And it tells us what happened there. And how the people wept before God. How the people completely and totally repented of what their sins were. They needed deeper understanding. When we pursue and choose to know more about the Lord, what happens is that more of who we are is exposed. Now we have a choice. How do we respond to that? How do I respond to that? How do you respond to that? Do we respond with saying, I need to change? The Bible says that the Word of God is like a mirror, right? When you get up in the morning and your hair is like, you know, five or six different directions, and I've been playing around with my hair. I've grown it out a little bit, okay? But I'll tell you, I wear a CPAP machine, you know, one of those, so that I don't, you know, so my dear wife doesn't have to deal with my snoring. And I'll tell you, that CPAP machine makes my hair stand up on end. I look awfully strange in the morning. You know, when we think about it, and we think about what the Word of God speaks to us, how do we adjust to it? How do we change? What do we do? Do we adjust? Rarely, when you look in the mirror, do you go, "Ah, I think I look good," and you leave. No, we want to fix ourselves, make sure that we're properly dressed, properly groomed. It's important. Well, spiritually, that's what holiness is about. It's separating from sin and remaining faithful to God. Leadership and obedience and example that we see now we're going to close with this. Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1. God moves Cyrus to fulfill his promise. Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. Worship as the temple foundation is laid. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, Ezra's devotion to God's word. And in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 15, we see humility and repentance. Look up those verses in there. As you study the word, look up those verses. These four verses will tell you a little bit about what happened in the book of Ezra. And it helped the believers and the children of Israel to become what God wanted them to be. And that is what we need today. We need to be renewed. I don't think that we're like sitting here like a remnant. There's lots of Christians all over. But what we do need is people that are truly devoted to the Word of God, to the goodness of God, and to the guidance of God in our lives. And that's what's the relevance for today? It reminds us that God is sovereign over kings, nations. He shows the priority of worship and obedience in the life of God's people. He calls us to spiritual renewal through his word. And he encourages us that no matter how broken the past is, God can restore people for his glory. That's what he did with the people of Israel. And so he reminds us that God is sovereign, calls us to worship and obedience, renews us through his word, and restores his people for his glory. So may the Lord bless us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. our prayer today is that you would guide us and bless us as we think about what Ezra taught us. And even though it's been just an overview, just touched a little bit on it, our prayer is that each one of us would grow and understand your faithfulness and your goodness. Be with us now as we go about the rest of our day and this evening. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life so that we could be forgiven and have life in you. Our prayer today is that each one of us would be challenged and encouraged to devote ourselves to studying the Word of God, to understand what you guide us and lead us in. The laws and the decrees of the Old Testament, and some of them are not as relevant in the sense of how they're done today, but we are given instructions in the New Testament that would give us an understanding of your grace and your goodness. Help us to be obedient to your word and submitted to your word. And so that through that we can glorify your holy name. Thank you again in Jesus' name.